an unwelcome guest's Mayday special presentation.
Haymarket.
Inquisitions.
Catalyst Theater Company presents Inquisitions and Other Un-American Activities, a new play by Greg Gouma, staged for radio performance.
WEOS Geneva, WXXE Fenner, Syracuse.
Good evening. Gentlemen of the press, ladies, honored guests. As governor of the state of Illinois, I am here tonight to announce my decision on pardons for the Haymarket anarchists. I'll begin with the facts of the case. On the night of May 4th, 1886, a public meeting was held in Chicago on Haymarket Square. There were 800 to 1,000 people present, nearly all being laboring men and their wives and children. There had been trouble growing out of the effort to introduce an eight-hour workday, resulting in some collisions with the police, in one of which several laboring men were killed. And the Haymarket meeting was called as a protest against alleged police brutality. The meeting was orderly and attended by the mayor, who remained until the crowd began to disperse and then went away. As soon as Captain John Bonfield of the police department learned that the mayor had gone, he took a detachment of police and hurried.
Feel better now, big fella? Manhandling an old lady?
Go on.
What's the charge this time?
Keep moving.
How long is this going to take? I've got a speaking date at the rally this afternoon. Hello? Anyone home?
Your mouth ever stop running?
Too much to say. Too little time.
In there.
Do you even know why we commemorate Haymarket every November? I guess that's a no. You know they'll hold it without me. This is pointless. Save your breath, Lucy. They're not listening. Just following orders, right? Not allowed to converse with incarcerated, might get ideas. You know what day this is besides November 11th, 1919? 32nd anniversary of the crime that should have shamed America. Should have. Still should. And that's what I'm gonna talk about. Government murders. Here at the rally, wherever I am. That's why I'm here, isn't it, you gutless cowards? Can't have that kind of talk, can we? Not in President Wilson's America. Make the world safe for democracy. That's what he promised. But what did we get? Democracy for our few white men. You hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Well, well, well.
Good morning, Mrs. Parsons.
Look what they sent.
I'm Agent James Dell.
A beardless wonder.
From the Bureau of Investigation.
And it speaks too.
And I'm here on orders of Attorney General A. Mitchell Palmer.
Sounds serious.
And you are Lucy Ella Parsons of Chicago, 66 years of age, right so far?
Far right, I'd say. And all wrong.
You're here because the country is in a state of emergency.
Oh, is that what it is?
High alert, in fact. We have reason to believe that extremist groups are planning to bomb industrial targets.
And you think I'm involved?
That's what I'm here to find out.
Oh, a little old lady.
Under the Espionage Act, the Bureau has concluded that your Haymarket commemoration poses a threat to law and order.
Honey, I thought the war was over.
Yes, but the homeland faces serious threats to domestic security. In Washington State, and this is just one case, we have reports that IWW members are moving an arsenal into their meeting hall in Centralia.
Arsenal? My, my. You are concerned. I get it. So am I.
Good. Then you understand why we need to know as much as possible about
who might be. But we're worried about different things.
Oh?
Yes. I'm worried about what capitalist thugs like the Employers Association and the Legionnaires are doing in Centralia.
Capitalist thugs?
For the Armistice Day massacre? Just the excuse the feds need.
We're not the enemy here.
Oh, really? Then how about what your Mr. Palmer is doing to innocent people all over the country? Does everyone who disagrees with the president belong in jail?
You haven't been arrested. This is simply a preventive detention.
Oh, so I can leave then?
Well, no.
Right. Just a few questions.
Exactly.
Right. Well, Agent, what was it?
Dell. James Dell.
You know, James, this isn't the first time officers of the law have detained me. Usually it's right after I speak, or like now, just before a meeting. So I think all the juicy questions have already been asked. But let's see. Am I revolutionary?
Are you?
Oh, yes. Do I support the miners and steelworkers out on strike?
Do you?
Absolutely. Workers of the world, unite. But will I betray my friends to avoid prison? Afraid not, Jimmy. Did you really think I would?
We face a clear and present danger to a public order here in Chicago. And I'm already well aware of your past activities and associations.
From your files there?
And living in Chicago all my life.
So then you know that I've been persecuted going on 40 years now.
I'm not aware of that.
Look, let's cut through the crap. I'm here because the Attorney General has rounded up every radical he can lay his hands on. Guess he was pretty upset about that bomb on his lawn last summer.
What do you know about it?
Just what I read in the papers. But I know where this is going. Worried about bombs? Ask the anarchist.
Are we wrong? That's what your file says.
My file. Got my favorite description in there? Tribune, I think. It was the police chief. Said I was more dangerous than 1,000 rioters.
What are your plans to disrupt business and public services, particularly your contacts with foreign agitators?
Do you actually believe what you're saying?
I'll ask the questions, if you don't mind.
So polite. How can I refuse?
That's better. You were present August 31st at the formation of a communist party here in the city, is that correct?
So what?
Most of the participants were foreigners. Russians. We know that.
Is meeting with Russians a crime?
Soviet-Russian plots inside the United States. Terror, violence, that's the issue. Don't you have any loyalty to your country?
Well, I suppose I do know something about that. So did my husband. What do your files say about him?
Albert Parsons, American, enlisted in the Confederate Army at 13. Radical Republican.
Shot by the KKK when he was 20. You got that?
No, actually. And he marries you.
A black woman, you mean? Part Spanish and Indian, actually. Yeah. We were quite a sight in Waco. But I was thinking about your question. Why workers would want to stop big business in its tracks? For Albert and me, the real change came during the big railroad strike in 77. Oh, people loved him. And things were working for a while. We closed the city down, and other cities too. But the capitalists weren't just lying down.
Are you all right,
Lucy?
Albert?
They're beating heads out there.
But are you all right?
Yeah, Lucy, the bastards just fired me.
Oh, darling, I'm so sorry. Oh. Come over here.
That helps. There was cavalry on the street today. That means we're winning. They're on
Cossacks?
The run. 2 weeks ago, this was just a New England strike. Then Hayes sent federal troops to West Virginia to protect the B&O Railroad. It's the first time since Andrew Jackson they've used troops against civilians.
True.
Now what have we got? Chaos. But organization, too. Union membership is up. People are coming together.
I know.
I mean, when this thing is over, we may even be able to put some of our own people into office. The rail bosses lost $10 million last week in Pittsburgh alone. I mean, they burned over 2,000 freight cars. That's why we have to hold on. The big boys are desperate.
You could be right, but I'm not so sure.
You are my toughest audience. All right, how about this? How are we doing?
Us? Better than in Waco. I was thinking about that just now, how far we've come. That first day.
You're sitting on the porch swing.
I remember.
Just 15 and already a miracle.
And you... You look like some white knight. Kind of scared the hell out of me.
Well, that didn't stop you from inviting me in, did it?
Texas hospitality. What could I do?
Well, I'm not complaining.
Excuse me, but what are you two Lovebirds doing in my office?
None of your business, Mr. Spees. But if you must know, they fired Albert today, and I was comforting him.
A likely story. So, did they say why?
My big mouth. The strike. And, of course, my association with a notorious radical editor, August Spies.
Right. So, you were expecting a thank you? Wake up, brother. This is a...
War. Yes, August, I've heard. But it's still America. I have the right to speak, don't I?
Oh, sure. And they have the right to fire you.
Hey, how about some sympathy for my man here?
Well, I do sympathize, really. I have great compassion for the blind. But in this case, it's curable. Just remove the blindfold and look where you are at.
Clever. But I don't have to swallow this. I can talk to...
The mayor?
Yeah, the mayor.
Which ones? Parsons.
Guilty, what can I do for you?
You can come with us. Now.
Ow.
Hey,
where are you taking
him? Did I speak to you? Did I speak to him?
Didn't hear you do that.
That's what I thought. Some people would like to see you at the mayor's office.
What people?
Did I hear something again?
You didn't hear that.
Actually, I'd like to see the mayor myself.
Yeah, let's go.
You don't want to keep the mayor waiting, do you?
Hey, a word to the wise, huh? Mind your manners in there.
Our guest has arrived. The famous Albert Parsons, defender of the working man, voice of the immigrant.
Anarchist scum.
Please, gentlemen. Mr. Parsons, I'd like you to meet Superintendent Hickey. You know Captain Shack and Inspector Bonfield, I believe, and I'm...
Marshal Field, I know who you are.
Excellent. My fame precedes me. So, can I speak frankly?
I doubt it.
Let me try anyway. We, and when I say we, I mean the business community of the great city of Chicago, are quite upset about how you... What's the current phrase?
Anarchist scum.
Labor agitator.
Thank you, Captain Shack. You agitators are stirring up our employees who were perfectly content until you and your German friends got involved.
Content? Working 12 hours a day? Starving?
Spare us! You know, we try to be generous, flexible, but you're straining our patience, Mr. Parsons. And let me be perfectly clear about this. We will not let you undermine a lifetime of hard work.
Yeah. Whose work, sure. By the way?
This ain't Paris, boyo. And you ain't leading no commune.
Them krauts love that bullcrap, don't they? You should have seen them at the rail yard yesterday. I mean, every union no good and nigger in the city was there.
Watch it. You're talking about honest, hardworking people.
Let's get to the point, shall we? We'd very much appreciate some cooperation. We need this strike settled. We won't have unions calling the tune here in Chicago.
We'll see.
You better start worrying less about union scum and more about that nigger bitch of yours.
Touch her, you bastard.
Settle down, boyo.
I don't have to take this. I came to see the mayor.
Forget the mayor.
Where is he?
Oh, he's not here, is he? And we are. And we just want some information. I understand you've had some employment problems.
That was
cooperate,
you.
And maybe you'll find it easier to hold a job.
That was you.
How about something simple? The names of your key men here in Chicago. No? You understand we can make your life very difficult.
More threats. So that's what this is all about.
No. You have it backwards. You and your union boys are threatening us. But don't think for a moment we won't defend ourselves. This isn't Custer's last stand either, and you are definitely not Sitting Bull. Get him out of here.
And one more thing. Get out of town.
Go on. Keep it up, boyo, and I'll watch you hang.
Well, that was unpleasant. Alan, what do you think?
A good example of why I'm here.
Friends, this is Mr. Alan Pinkerton. You've heard of his detective agency. Yeah. Now, Alan has been in contact with several of our...
No names, please. But yes, I'm here at the request of some friends of ours. Now, they know, as you know, that the situation is fragile. Now, basically, we're outnumbered, and we may face a real danger of open rebellion.
You're telling us?
What I want to convey is this. This situation calls for caution. Intelligence, a subtle hand.
Horseshit. What it calls for is that gun you brought.
With all due respect, even a half dozen Gatling guns wouldn't do it. Now, someone mentioned Paris, the commune, they called it. Now, we almost had a socialist government in France, now, didn't we?
What's your point?
Today, Chicago is the third largest German city in the world. If you don't handle this just right, you will have to answer to the man who sent me.
No.
And I promise you, that's one war you'll definitely lose.
So what do our friends have in mind?
Well, industry's expanding. Sacrifices must be made. Your workers will just have to accept less.
But we're outnumbered.
Yes, yes, but the current strike won't last forever. If we wait and let the federal troops provide the muscle, the rabble will be back to work soon enough. Just let things cool off, then go after the troublemakers.
Starting with Parsons.
Whatever you like.
Hey, Parsons, far enough. We got some directions for you.
I can find my own. Oh, you are in the wrong place, buddy.
I say the wrong city.
I believe he still doesn't understand. Maybe a little further explanation would help.
Sure, let me explain.
You know, my partner here would very much enjoy putting a large hole in your head. Is that what they want?
You really don't get it. Okay, we'll make it very simple. You're blacklisted. You don't work in Chicago anymore. We see you again and you are dead meat.
You can't get away with murder.
Wrong! We get away with any damn thing we please.
Enlightening. But that's ancient history. Very different times.
They called in the feds to stop us. Did you know that? Indian fighters from the war with Geronimo shot unarmed people, women, children.
That's not my concern.
Then you have no heart.
I have a job, and you're no help.
Not my job, is it?
All right. Let's say mistakes were made, but you people did bring some of it on yourselves. Didn't you urge people to make explosives?
I told them to defend themselves.
With bombs, like the ones they use at Haymarket.
We had nothing to do with that.
You suggested that blowing up your enemies was a fine idea, didn't you?
Wasn't that simple?
But it happened, didn't it?
All right. We were at the Arbeiter Zeitung, biggest German newspaper in the country. Albert was there, August Spies, Michael Schwab.
8 hours we have for working, 8 hours we'd have for play.
This is good. Look, yeah? Look, they mentioned the 8-hour campaign in the Tribune again.
It's fine, Michael, but I'm worried about May 1st.
Exactly. Every time I try to hold a meeting, the bulls beat our heads in. I wouldn't exactly call that progress.
Albert, it means they're desperate. You know, Marx says that when the state
we
is
know,
going to
Michael, but Marx is dead, and the manifesto isn't going to protect us.
Forget the manifesto. We should focus on the Constitution, the right to assemble.
Oh, you believe McCormick and Field give a damn about the Constitution? Thomas Jefferson is also dead. And the capitalists have more money than God.
So where does that leave us? Open rebellion?
I think your Schoenfrau is working up a little manifesto as we speak.
Okay.
An ode to armed self-defense.
Better call it suicide. They'll send in the army.
So, Albert, does the Constitution protect us from state-sponsored slaughter?
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, but if the law is useless, force may be all that's left.
No, but we're not there yet, right? I mean, we have elections.
Yeah, and ballot counters who stuff the boxes.
And the courts?
Yeah, with judges who think socialism is a
crime. You're saying it's hopeless?
I do prefer reality to false hope.
There is hope. The hard times are pushing people our way. Wage cuts are worse than ever.
Oh, very promising.
But the 8-hour campaign, people are starting to take it seriously now.
Yes, but we also need to talk about revolutionary solutions. Cooperative ownership, socializing the whole system.
Fine. But if there's a nationwide strike for the 8-hour day, we support it, no?
Maybe. It's a tactical decision.
Comrades, listen, I finally finished my final draft. Every editor in Chicago, as you know, thinks the homeless should be poisoned and the strikers deserve to be dynamited. Well, here's my response to that.
Well, we could get dynamite if it comes to that. Only costs 4 cents a pound.
Perfectly legal and available at any hardware store.
Correct.
Right. And a pound of dynamite is worth a bushel of ballots.
Good line. I think we can use that.
I am not comfortable.
Are you ever, Michael?
Gentlemen, listen. I'm calling this a letter to the tramps. And the message is, instead of drowning yourselves out of despair, learn the use of explosives and take several of your rich enemies with you.
That calls for a kiss. You know, you are clearly a very dangerous woman.
Well, a good match for a dangerous man, don't you think?
Learn the use of explosives. That's what you wrote, and that's exactly why you're here.
We were young, angry, yes, naive. But that doesn't mean... God, Albert didn't know anything about dynamite. It was an attitude.
Armed sections of immigrant groups conducting military exercises in the parks. An attitude?
That was the autonomous. Engel and Fisher, we were never with them. They thought 8 hours was reformist garbage.
And Ling? Louis Ling?
He'd only been in the city for a year. A fanatic, but a good-looking one.
Surrounded by people who were preparing for an armed revolution, and you actively encouraged it. I might be more sympathetic if you took some responsibility.
I take responsibility. I take responsibility for telling people to fight for their rights, including the right to bear arms.
And make bombs?
Yes, if that's all they've got.
Monumental irresponsibility.
Are you talking about the bosses?
You think people have a right to destroy property and kill just because they have a grievance? You're here because you people threaten the safety and security of this nation.
That's what they do. And what about you?
What do you mean?
Do you know why you're here?
It's an assignment.
In Haymarket. What do you know about that?
I know... Well, a bomb was thrown at the police. I know that. At a rally organized by your husband and his friends. There was a riot and 7 police officers died.
You got some of the facts, but not the truth. May 1st, 1886, May Day we call it now, we brought the 8-hour campaign to a boil. Hundreds of thousands out on strike across the country, 50,000 in Chicago, marching down Michigan Avenue. Albert and me right out in front, marksmen on the rooftops just waiting for the word. But it turned out to be peaceful. 2 days after, near McCormick's Reaper Works, the lumber shovers were out on strike. And they asked August Spees to speak. And while he was speaking, the whistle blew at McCormick's and the scabs came out and the strikers moved in and everyone was yelling and hurling insults and rocks. And the police came out shooting. It was a massacre. Unarmed men, women, some children, wounded, dead, several dead. August was a witness. He ran furious back to the office and put out a flyer calling for a protest. Something like, if you're men, you'll rise and destroy the monster that wants to destroy you. To arms, we call you, to arms. And the headline read, revenge.
What did he mean?
August didn't write it. The print boy did. But as soon as the autonomous saw it, they were ready to fight. Engel, Fisher, all the radical Germans met at their favorite saloon.
Good meeting.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, cheer up, Seliger. You look nervous.
This could be very bad here, Engel.
Yeah, McCormick's was slaughtered. Our men had nothing but rocks in the bulls they fired on them.
So we rally. And if things get worse?
We fight, like this newspaper says. To arms. I don't usually agree with August Peace, but this time he hits the mark.
Christ. Has anyone seen Louis?
Ling? He's renting from you, no?
Yeah, and this could take him over the edge.
A young warrior waiting for battle.
Mr. Big Anarchist Engel. Easy for you to say. You don't live with him. He's... I don't know. Trouble.
Don't exaggerate.
Listen. Last night, I go to the barn, and he's out there with his boys. They have iron molds, coils. They're producing bombs.
Bombs?
Pipe bombs. So I say, I can't have this. The wife is nervous. He just starts talking about Bakunin and how the revolutionary is a doomed man. No centimeters. Then I ask him, what are they for?
And what are they for?
You ask too many questions, Engel.
Oh, Louis, good to see you.
You talk about me, huh?
Nein, no. Yeah, I was just telling George.
Well,
So have you heard?
Yeah, I hear across town you all talk so loud. Zelliger, you convince me.
Good night, Zelliger.
I say to you, keep quiet. And what do you do? You betray me, huh?
No, Louis, I wouldn't. We were just talking.
Shut up. Listen, it already begins.
What do you mean?
Oh, don't pee your pants. I just test one.
My God. Where?
No matter. But afterwards, I stand right across from my station house, you know, holding this other one, and I think, why not now? Why not tonight?
You've brought it here? Are you insane?
Oh, you worry too much. So what does this women decide?
Tomorrow, we hold a mass rally. And if the bulls attack, we strike back. But not until then.
No one tells Louis Ling when or where to strike. Idiot!
Louis, wait. You can't do this.
Watch me. They want us dead, no? And I want them dead. How do they say it? Fair is fair.
But not now.
Why not now? This is for my father. I tell you about him. Just a stupid worker. A lumberman. So one day, the dealer, he sees a log going down under the ice. So he says, get that log. No one goes, of course. Except my stupid father. But the ice is weak. Huh? He goes under.
He died?
Oh, not right away. But his health is bad after that, you know. And the boss, he sees. And he says, I have to cut your wages. After 12 years. And then he lets the old man go. Business is down, he says. 3 years, and my father is dead. And the dealer, he is getting richer. I am 13, and I say I hate that man and all the ones like him. And I promise someday. So why not this day, Tonight, tomorrow, what difference? You light, I throw.
I can't.
So it's all talk, then. Yes, that's what I think.
You say that? I let you into my house? I let you make these things in the barn? You know how I feel. But this isn't about personal feelings. This is about...
What? Revolution, yes? That means power, force, the blood of heroes. Are you a hero? Then come with me. No? Okay. We wait. We follow orders. But soon, you will give me the match.
You're telling me that Louis Ling made the Haymarket bomb?
He was making them, but no, not the one that was used that night. And we didn't even know him then.
But August Spies, he knew what was happening, didn't he? He called the rally.
He didn't put the signal in the paper. His so-called allies were preparing to take the city by force, and they hadn't bothered to tell him. That really burned August. So he spread the word that it was a mistake, a typographical error. Too late.
All right, Bonfield, I've read the damn flyer. So what?
Mr. Mayor, stop the rally. You let them radicals meet tonight, and God knows what will happen.
Leave God out of this, Bonfield. What do you know?
They'll be armed, and we've heard there's a plot to take over some factories.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm not scrapping the Constitution because of some barroom gossip.
Sir, you can't just do nothing.
I know my job, Bonfield, but that does not include telling people that they can't meet in public because the police are nervous.
Sir, respectfully, you're making a mistake.
All right, then. Have enough men mustered to handle things, but if it looks like McCormick's, disperse the crowd. But only then, on my order. Understood?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now let's feed the animals. Gentlemen of the press, here I am. Gentlemen, wanted us.
Clubber. That's what we called Bonfield and Blackjack. During the streetcar strike, he clubbed everyone in sight, even the store owners. Mayor Harrison tried to move him out, but Marshall Field said no way. He was proud of Chicago's reputation as one of the most brutal police forces in the country.
Stay on the point.
Which is whether I can justify armed struggle.
We call it criminal conspiracy.
Ah, the Red Menace. I've heard about it.
Are you denying that there are Russian agents that have infiltrated the highest levels in several unions?
Tell me, is the Attorney General colorblind? Is red the only color he can see? All right, we're communists, some of us, or socialists, or anarchists.
Their color's black, by the way. But we're not plotting to overthrow the government. We just want him to live up to its promises. Like not dragging hundreds of people into custody just because they weren't born here, want better wages, or oppose a war.
Good speech. But we know that members of the Communist Party are in contact with the Soviets.
No one's offered me a trip to Moscow.
How about Emma Goldman? What are her plans?
Staying out of sight, I expect.
You find this amusing?
Not really. But if you've been followed, observed, and abused by the government for as long and as thoroughly as I have, you develop a sense of the ridiculous.
So, you find this ridiculous?
Absolutely. And sad. Because I get the feeling there's a human being in there who knows, must know that this is all wrong.
I know it was wrong to throw a bomb at Haymarket.
I didn't want my husband dying at the rally that night. We just didn't know what the radicals would do. I told him.
Albert, they shot people yesterday.
That's exactly why I have to be there. It's happening, darling. A national movement.
But look at the reality, honey.
What are you saying?
I mean, Albert, don't we deserve a little peace?
Whoa, this is the same woman who's been telling people to fight back for the last 10 years?
That's just words.
Great words. But if we really want revolution, we also have to act.
You're starting to sound like Engel and Fisher.
Are they wrong?
Is that what you want? Some grand, pointless shootout in the streets?
There's a risk, I know, but what do you want me to do?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Leave town? Hide out somewhere?
Oh, I don't know. It just doesn't feel right.
All right. I'll tell August I'm too tired.
No, wait. You should go. You're probably right. They need you to calm things down.
What's it look like at the Haymarket?
Mostly krauts. They're just getting started. Krauts and commies. Well, they're going to get a taste of American justice tonight, Mr. Pankerton.
I believe it. Oh, I have a donation for you from the Law and Order League.
What is it?
Dr. Gatlin's newest model. Shoots 500 rounds per minute.
Sounds like a pitch.
So we hear you held a council of war, is that what they call it?
You got it. Not everyone's on board, but I'm here and they're not.
Well, people are counting on you, John.
I've been waiting a long time for this. Don't worry, it's all set.
Excellent. Can I help?
Absolutely. Work with my men and put one of your own in the thick of it. If things even smell bad, I want to know.
How about some undercover men?
You're a true patriot, sir. Now, the important thing is, keep your eyes on Spies and Parsons. If it comes to guns, go for them and the other leaders.
Am I hearing you right, John?
You hear me fine. I want those bastards dead.
Anarchy! Yes, anarchy is what we need! Anarchy! The Greek an, meaning no, none. And archy, meaning government. Anarchy. No government! Yeah! No king, no emperor, no president, no ruler of any kind. Anarchy is self-government. Yeah. The administration of affairs by the people themselves. Individual liberty. Anarchy preserves the equal right of each and every person. We anarchists are the advance guard in the impending social revolution. We oppose the power of capital. The power of capital to appropriate the product of wage workers. The power of capital to crush wage workers under the weight of a violent government. Born in violence and murder, government disinherits and enslaves the governed. Government makes law for the few to rule the many. Government is for slaves. Free men rule themselves. That is anarchy. Anarchy is liberty. Anarchy is the negation of force. Anarchists do not advocate the use of force. We protest the use of force and justify it only when used in self-defense. Resist the use of force. Do not, I repeat, do not strike first. But when the state strikes
And strike it will, as strike it has, then, only then, strike back! Yeah! Strike back in self-defense! Yeah! Strike back in self-preservation against those who would enslave you and destroy you! Yeah! Strike then and let anarchy arise! Yeah! Arise and be free!
Yeah! Thank you, Albert! Albert Parsons, editor of The Alarm, comrade in arms.
Happy to help, August.
Lucy, over here, Albert.
I hear you.
Turn a little to your left, honey.
Why do you all sneak up on me like
well,
that?
Well, I am part Indian, remember?
Daddy, Daddy, look. Look at this. Look, look.
Hey, Junior.
I catched your salamander.
Nice.
See, oh. See, look at him.
That's so sweet, honey. Sweetheart, Amy's waiting for us over at Zeph's. She's got Lulu.
Let's go, then. I have a powerful thirst.
Okay. Junior, take my hand, honey.
Okay.
I think it's going to rain. Sam's going to get wet.
Did you see Mayor Harrison when you were talking?
Saw him lighting a cigar about 20 times.
Wanted people to know he was there.
Oh, hey, wait, there he goes ahead of us.
Wait a minute, Albert.
Hey, hey, Mayor Harrison!
Albert.
Oh, you're not leaving yet, are you? Come have a brew with the common people.
Evening, Parsons.
Oh, thanks for hearing me
Albert.
Out, at least.
Well, that was pretty tame stuff for you, Parsons. Pretty damn tame.
Wait till next time, Mayor. Blow your top hat right off.
Mom, we should...
Albert.
I'm here, I'm here.
Since when is the mayor your new best friend?
I wasn't friendly, honey. You want a beer?
Let's go in. Let's
Parsons! Parsons! Good birds out there.
Thanks, Gus.
Gotta learn to fight back when they attack us, yeah?
Wish there'd been a better turnout.
There was earlier when there was no speakers. So folks, they left.
What a botch from beginning to end.
Nobody clubbed or shot. Guess that's a good thing.
Get you a beer, Gus?
Yeah.
Everyone clear out!
It's Bonfield and the clubbers!
Hundreds of them!
You're to come to the name of the people of the state of Illinois to disperse!
So we are peaceable!
I call it you and you
and you! Oh, Jesus!
Stay down. Stay down.
Hang on to me, Lulu.
I'm right behind you, honey.
Slow down, slow down. We're safe here.
We are not safe anywhere, Albert. You've got to get out of here, out of the city.
Why? We don't even know what happened.
It was a bomb. You heard it.
Yeah.
By tomorrow, they'll be rounding up everyone, and you'll be at the top of their list, dead or alive.
I wasn't even there.
As if that matters. You read me the editorial. If trouble comes, make an example of Parsons and Spees. Well, honey, this is trouble, and you got to go.
But what about August, the others?
We can't help them now. Look, Lizzie's husband, Bill, is in Geneva. Go there and find him. He'll know what to do about this situation and what you...
Could have been one of our people?
Albert, listen.
No, it had to be one of Field's goons.
We don't know that. We don't know anything, except if you stay here.
But if I leave, it's like I'm admitting I'm guilty. I can't.
It's just for a few days, just until we get to figure this thing out.
Bastards! All right. I'll just put a few miles between me and the law.
Good. Because once we know it's safe, honey, I'll get word to you. God, it's a nightmare.
Hey, we'll get through this. You tried to warn me, but I was just too bullheaded.
Do you have money?
Enough. Give Daddy a kiss, Lulu.
Good girl.
And Junior, be good.
Okay.
He will.
And you... You be good, too.
I'm not promising anything, Albert Parsons. So you better stay safe and get your ass back here.
I'll be back. They won't get away with this.
They sure won't. But go now before I change my mind.
Government must defend itself. Life and property must be protected. Law and order must be maintained, and murder must be punished. And if the defendants are guilty of murder, either committed by their own hand or by someone else acting on their advice, then if they had a fair trial, there should be, in that case, no executive interference. But a number of men have examined this case carefully and based their appeal for a pardon on entirely different grounds.
Enough of this rubbish, Agent Dell. Let's get serious. That man, John Peter Altgeld, was as un-American as the men he pardoned. Teddy Roosevelt said so at the time. Dishonorable, that's what he called it, impugning our system of justice during a national crisis.
I think that's a bit extreme, sir.
Oh, really? Well, maybe we need a little bit more extremism. You won't advance far in the Bureau with that attitude.
Sir, I don't sympathize with extremists. But if someone isn't guilty, then...
It doesn't matter. When you have a boil, you lance it. Let me bring you up to date. 6 days ago, we began a roundup in 23 cities. So far, we've identified and detained 10,000 communists and anarchists. Now, that's a good start, but we have to do more. We have to build cases and get as many of these revolutionaries and radicals out of the country as possible.
You mean deport them?
Bingo.
So we send Lucy Parsons back to Texas?
Don't be cute, Dell.
Sorry, sir, but she's a citizen. We can't deport Americans.
Citizens? Maybe not, but we can get rid of some foreign reds. And we can put their accomplices behind bars. We have got to break this radical conspiracy.
I understand, but Agent Hoover, we
can't... Special agent. It's a new classification.
Sorry. But due process...
Stop right there. Before you say something that you will regret... You understand that this comes directly from the Attorney General. Once we finish with the current phase, we'll worry about how to apply the law. So save your questions. I am here because this city is a hotbed of radical activity. Communism is like a virus, attacking our way of life. You see these cards? Each one bears the name of an infectious agent. And I already have more than 100,000 of them.
I had no idea there were so many.
Few people do. And we're just getting started. Which brings me to you and Lucy Parsons. You haven't gotten very far with her, have you?
I just don't think she knows very much.
Then you're asking the wrong questions. How about Emma Goldman? We know she's working with the communists.
I asked, but isn't Goldman an anarchist?
Your point?
They have very different agendas. They don't even like each other, so I'm told.
That's fuzzy thinking. Emma Goldman, Red Emma, is a known radical agitator, and any investigator doing his job asks about her because she is probably the most dangerous woman in America. We never should have let her out of prison. Look at this, inciting people against the war, mocking religion, promoting free love and birth control. She may not be a communist, but they've got no better spokesman in this country. Don't you think we should put a stop to that?
Well, Mrs. Parsons claims they haven't spoken for years.
And you believe that? Please, Lucy Parsons is an integral part of the communist conspiracy.
But she's an old woman. My approach is...
Your approach has already wasted valuable government time and made it necessary for me to get involved personally in this matter. From a good family, are you? Liberals? I am constantly amazed at the political naivete of the upper class. Well, let me educate you. Lucy Parsons is a dedicated revolutionary and a direct threat to this nation. There is absolutely no doubt about it. We aren't rounding up radicals for the fun of it. We need records, membership lists, confessions. We are building cases and a base of information, a national index of radical activity. Look, this is a new era. From here, we police the entire nation. Back the team, and you can move up fast. Officer, bring up Miss Parsons. It may not seem like we're still at war, Agent Dell, but we are. Moscow has agents around the world, armed and ready to act whenever the order comes. We just can't wait sitting on our constitutional principles. And we didn't just pick the timing of this operation out of a hat. Our evidence points to plans for a violent uprising between November the 7th, the second anniversary of the Russian Revolution, and yesterday, Armistice Day. You saw the alert. Yesterday, and you should know this, was also the anniversary of the Haymarket executions. Miss Parsons has used this as an excuse to stir up the rabble for over 30 years. But this year, we believe that if she had been allowed to speak, we would have ended up with the kind of uprising that we are seeing in the state of Washington.
Uprising?
Oh, yes. The radicals in Centralia lined their union halls with guns, and when the American Legion marched past, bam! Yes, bring her in. We'll continue this later.
Good afternoon, madam. Let me introduce myself. My name is John Edgar Hoover, and I work for the Bureau of Investigation as Director of the General Intelligence Division. This is a new department with a vital mission.
Oh, I know.
What do you know, madam? That's the question. Let's see. Lucy Ella Parsons, born 1853 in Texas,
mm-hmm.
moved to Chicago in 1874,
mm-hmm.
member of the Knights of Labor, radical mm-hmm. pamphleteer, two children, founded the Pioneer Aid and Support Association. Let's see, George Mark Stahl, is he your husband?
No.
Ah, but you two have been cohabitating since 1910.
Is living together against the law?
Oh, no. The government doesn't care who you choose to fornicate with. But it does care very deeply about plans to overthrow the United States government.
Am I being charged with espionage?
It's an option. I expect that you are familiar with the group known as the Industrial Workers of the World, the IWW. So let's begin there. Agent Dell, what would be your first question?
Well, what do you know about its... the IWW's plans to disrupt business.
Strikes? They aren't against the law.
True, not since the end of the war.
Irrelevant! When they are part of a larger conspiracy, when radical ideas are being used as an excuse to attack innocent people, that's something else entirely.
Radical ideas? Like justice? A decent wage?
I'm not here to listen to communist propaganda. We know what your comrades want, and we've seen what they can do.
Such as?
Such as fire into a peaceful parade. And don't look so surprised. It happened just yesterday in Centralia, Washington. At least four people are dead, including the post commander of the American Legion. That's your wobblies, so spare me.
Sounds very convenient.
Is that supposed to be humorous?
Death isn't humorous. But sometimes it does come at a convenient moment, doesn't it?
For whom, madam?
Now, that is a good question. Who benefits and who loses?
Turn the culprits into victims. Clever. Like your husband and his friends. Poor, innocent men wrongfully accused.
Sir?
That's right, innocent.
Please. I don't care what that traitor Altgeld said years after the fact.
Sir, please.
Someone threw that bomb and seven police officers...
Sir, I have to insist.
What?
Sir, are those chains really necessary? She's not going anywhere.
All right, damn it, take them off. Seven police officers died as a result of that bomb. Are you comfortable? Wonderful. Now, your husband, all of the defendants, had their day in court.
A kangaroo court.
A court of law. Is that what you object to? Law of any kind. The anarchist creed, isn't it? No law, no government, just brute force.
No freedom. The things this country says it's about. But sometimes you have to fight for them.
Fight? So is that why your husband ran after the Haymarket bombing? Hid out in Wisconsin like a coward, afraid to stand up and take responsibility?
Yes, he left Chicago. Because they were arresting every organizer in the city. He was no coward. And he came back in spite of everything.
And why would he do that?
Because I told him. He came back, it might help swing public opinion. Because the children missed him, and I missed him. God help me, I begged him to come back.
Sir, I'm not sure what this has to do with our investigation.
Then let me explain it to you. This is how the communists work. Shift the blame from their actions to the government.
Albert was innocent.
Right, like the anarchists who bombed the Attorney General's house last summer. Well, fortunately, that one blew himself up. Look, we know there's a conspiracy, and we already have some of the criminals in custody.
Oh? Then why bother with questions? Or a trial?
Tell her, Mr. Dell.
Because we're not in Russia?
Because this is a civilized country.
Because here we get a verdict in the press before we bring out the noose.
Oh, see that? Twist everything. Accuse the accuser. It's brilliant, really, don't you think?
I'm not quite sure what you're getting at.
Never mind. Lucy. Lucy, you're a bright woman, obviously well-trained. Well, then you are smart enough to know that I can hold you as long as I want until you tell me what I want to know.
Fine. So ask the damn questions.
That's better. Now let's start with your comrade, Emma Goldman. And Mr. Dell, take this down for a statement. You've known Goldman since...
A long time.
How about 18 years ago in 1901?
Yes.
Good. And did you know Leon Czolgosz?
Who?
Who? Well, the man who killed President McKinley in 1901. That's who.
No. Why, for God's sake?
Miss Goldman never talked about him.
Not that I remember.
But possibly.
I don't think so.
Well, he did attend a speech that she gave here.
So?
He was there. And you were there.
And that means something?
Tell her, Agent Dell. You do know, don't you?
Not really.
It means something because several weeks later, Mr. Czolgosz, a self-professed anarchist, at the instigation of Miss Goldman, shot the president in Buffalo.
That's absurd.
Now, the question is, did you see Emma Goldman talk with Leon Czolgosz? But think very carefully now. She clearly inspired his actions. You can help us and help yourself in the process.
You mean lie.
No. We just sign this statement. Admit the truth. Emma Goldman wanted the president dead.
And then? You put her on trial?
Hopefully. Or at least deport her. The problem is her husband and father are citizens. That complicates things. But with proof of her complicity in the assassinations, I know that we can get something done. So how about it?
Are you listening, Agent Dell? This man, this extortionist, thinks I betray a friend to get out of here? Well, I'd rather rot in jail.
Oh, that can be arranged.
There is a balm in Gilead to make a wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead.
The prosecution could not discover who had thrown the bomb and could not bring the really guilty man to justice. And as some of the men were indicted were not even at the Haymarket meeting and had nothing to do with it, the prosecution was forced to proceed on the theory that the men indicted were guilty of murder because it was claimed they had at various times in the past uttered and printed incendiary and seditious language, practically advising the killing of policemen, Pinkerton men, and others acting in that capacity, and that they were therefore responsible for the murder. It is very apparent that most of the jurors were incompetent because they were not impartial. For nearly all of them candidly admitted they were prejudiced against the defendants and believed them guilty before hearing the evidence.
Your motion, Captain Black.
Your Honor, the charge is murder, the most serious crime a man can face. Now, each of the defendants I represent is entitled to a vigorous and independent defense, but without separate trials, that won't be possible. Evidence against one will become evidence against all.
I'm not impressed, Mr. Black.
Then consider this, Your Honor. Despite all of what we've been reading, my client's work on behalf of an 8-hour workday does not constitute proof of a conspiracy. In fact, some of the defendants have never even met before this trial. Your Honor, in view of the serious charges and especially the unfair publicity, it's abundantly clear why each defendant needs a separate trial.
Your Honor, my name is Albert Parsons. I'm here to present myself for trial with
Your
my
Your Honor, this man is Albert Parsons.
I heard that.
And I respectfully enter a plea of not guilty.
I move that the defendant be placed under arrest immediately.
Oh, that's absurd. Mr. Parsons is here to surrender himself. Prosecutor Grinnell's just grand.
That makes absolutely no honor. Your Honor, I insist.
All right, that's enough. You, take a seat with the other prisoners.
Good to see you, Mon.
Good to be back, Michael. I heard you boys needed some help. August, you keeping these fellows in line?
As usual, you ask the impossible.
So how goes it?
Amazing, actually. I never realized how strong the movement was until the state decided to destroy it.
Now there's a silver lining. Mr. Fleischer, Mr. Engel, greetings. Now, Lewis, always a pleasure.
The pleasure is all yours.
Don't mind him. Lewis thinks emotions are a form of bourgeois decadence.
Well, he's sitting with an expert.
Oh, you wound me. Nice of you to drop by.
Order! You, people there.
How's my timing?
Perfect, for getting yourself hanged.
Silence in the court! Captain Black, finish your point.
Your Honor, the press has made it look like working together for shorter hours is tantamount to a conspiracy. This type of prejudicial publicity makes it vital that each defendant get a separate trial.
I don't agree. A jury of fair-minded men can look beyond press reports.
But if you try them all together and just one man appears guilty, that could affect the jury's verdict on everyone.
I will deal with the jury.
Your Honor.
And what constitutes guilt.
Yes, Your Honor. Well, the defense sincerely believes that the court ought to grant this motion in the interest of justice. But I hardly expect it will.
Then why should I disappoint you, sir? Motion denied. Let's get on with it. Bring in the first group of jurors.
Now, there was a show. Jury selection in the court of Judge Joseph E. Gary. It took weeks and over 900 men to get the final 12. And who were they? A Baptist bookkeeper, a teacher who resented missing his annual fishing trip, two railroad men, and six clerks, including one who worked in Marshall Field's department store. Worked for the man ready and willing to pay the most to see the defendants die. That was the jury. Almost every man ready to convict before Prosecutor Julius Grinnell even made his opening statement.
Gentlemen, ladies, what you will hear in this courtroom will frighten you, and it should. A few short months ago, Chicago faced a conspiracy so large, so terrifying, that words can barely describe it. If we had known when the grand jury met what we know today, at least 30 people would have been charged with murder. Instead, we picked eight who clearly incited riot and bloodshed. Eight who should be blotted out. Wow, maybe none of these eight men personally threw the bomb on May the 4th, but they clearly aided the one who did, and they're as responsible as he is. There are many charges in this case, but the main one is murder. For that brutal crime, they should pay the highest price.
We'll take our morning recess.
A conspiracy to commit murder, just like the one to kill the president, and the one your friends were trying to organize until we stopped them. You were a part of it, weren't you?
You're enjoying this.
Answer the question.
Why? You got the answers already.
Yes, but not all the evildoers. They're still out there, waiting.
Ooh, frightening. Like some kind of demons, hey?
That's right. And it's not funny. Civilization is under attack.
You mean capitalism, don't you? And you know what happens then? Witch hunts, inquisitions, the Empire Strikes, and people, innocent people, die.
That's enough. Maybe you don't fully understand the situation. You can be charged.